I've come to understand that my thoughts had created my own disorder in my world, and that it's mankind's disordered thoughts that causes the global imbalances in our world, and they contribute to our vulnerability to AIDS and COVID today.
You can now see and hear how Maitreya's healing of AIDS offers us a way to now heal COVID, corruption, and injustice. In response to the growing voices of an awakening humanity, we bring you evidence that divine help is at hand to work with us to create a hopeful future that works for everyone.
Hello and welcome. Today, Catherine Ryle and I, David Minot, your usual host, will both be hosts and guests, hosting together and opening up a wealth of little-known healing miracles and how, during the COVID pandemic, we are about to experience a tremendous healing of our worst physical, political, and global malfunctions here on good old planet Earth. But first, I want to introduce my co-host. Catherine is a retired teacher and marine biologist, and now a dedicated grandmother. For over 40 years, Catherine has been actively sharing this information that we are discussing today. Welcome, Kathy, to the show.
Thank you, David. It's wonderful to be here, and I always welcome any chance to share this extraordinary information that is so full of hope and possibility. And when I first heard this in 1982, it completely changed my understanding and perspective of the meaning and purpose of life. And ever since then, I've been galvanized to do all I can to help people know about this wonderful information, possibility, awareness of what is going on now on planet Earth.
And I can't think of a more important role to be playing on our planet today. And as we broadcast here near the close of 2022, our planet Earth is so ill that were it a human patient, its survival might be in question. To paraphrase someone wiser than I, it's our lack of awareness of how to heal the planet's fragile state and our own complacency that might be placing the planet's fate in jeopardy the most. Something to consider. So yes, we, meaning you and I, hold the planet's future in our hands. So let's join together and speak with one voice for both the planet and humanity. Kathy?
Well, this episode of Planetary Makeover is about healing, and in particular about spiritual healing. And we will be introducing spiritual perspectives and speaking about miraculous events that have been happening worldwide. But in particular today, we're sharing information about the epidemic of AIDS and the healing related to that, and two particular personal healings. We'll be showing a video of an interview that was done in 1989, and David is going to be explaining about that and how it relates also to himself. So, David, this topic is very relevant to you in particular, so help us understand the context of what's coming.
Okay, thank you. Let me start with a little bit of history. My family gained an interest in integrated medicine and holistic healing back in the late 60s. And so since I started taking vitamins back then and eating health foods, concentrating on exercise and so forth, the meditation would come later, it formed my attitude towards illness and how to overcome it. So when I had tested positive for HIV and contracted AIDS many years later in the mid-90s, I had that fighting spirit towards the illness, not a sense of resignation whatsoever. And it helped set the stage for my journey. As we know, even today, integrated medicine is not fully accepted by mainstream medicine, but it's getting there. They're using it a lot more than they used to. But even with that, we know that grappling with the pandemic we have today, COVID, it's still something we're still trying to wrap our heads around, as well as our science. And in a sense, COVID is AIDS writ large. Now it could affect anyone on the planet, not just a small demographic that was perceived as having this issue some 40 plus years ago. We are exploring this from a different perspective, from healing within, something that wasn't talked about much then and not a whole lot now, but it's gaining ground. So have hope. We're talking about this healing coming from the soul and how invoking this energy can help create divine healing. We think that's really exciting, and that's something we will explore more when we discuss our other subject person on the subject of AIDS, Bill Tritt. Kathy?
Well, I really want to understand from you, and I hope you'll be able to go into more detail after we see this first part of the video of Bill Tritt being interviewed by Michael Dadio in 1989. I look forward to understanding more about how your journey was similar and how it was different. And you have more to say about what we're going to see in this video.
Yes, Bill was a little bit ahead of me, I have to say, Kathy, on this score. He was even more sophisticated in his approach to healing from within. As I said, in today's world, integrated medicine has gained more ground, as has meditation and nutrition on healing the patient. But still, as I said, healing from within is still rather rare, or at least rarely talked about. Perhaps it's more common than we all know. So this is a story about invoking divine help for both personal and planetary healing. Ponder on that. So to once again bring us up to today, COVID and the COVID pandemic, it did serve a purpose. It helped rip away the veil that was hiding this planetary, worldwide injustice and poverty, which was out in the open, but not often looked at by the Western world. With COVID, people that didn't have enough health insurance, that didn't have access enough to good, nutritious food, clean water, a clean environment, education about the illness, and so on, were more at risk. And we saw that the poor, working class, and the middle class were dying at a higher rate than were the wealthy. And of course, as you went down the scale of earning capability, we went up the scale in deaths. So given this quandary today, where we're still coping with lack of healthcare and political corruption, Kathy, why are we so hopeful about the future? And how is revisiting AIDS today so relevant?
Well, I am hopeful, number one, because of this information about spiritual perspectives on the transformation of the planet. What we're seeing today, the unrest, the confusion, the conflict, at the same time that we're seeing all these things that look so awful, environmental degradation, at the same time, behind the scenes, there are signs of hope everywhere. And in particular, the amount of people that are protesting for justice and for peace and for healing. Again and again, we're seeing groups of people claiming their right to the basics of life, and that is only growing. Parallel to this, united with this, is what we have learned about in this information that we're sharing today, having to do with the awakening of the planet and the fact that we're not alone as we face these challenges. So the crises are bringing up, out of necessity, a coming together to address the issues. Right now, those sorts of things are happening in little pockets all around the world, little experiments, new ideas on economic systems, new ideas on healing, new ideas on how to live together and be in harmony, interfaith projects. So wonderful, positive things are happening behind the scenes. And what we have seen, the miracles that we're going to share today, are frankly phenomenal events that people need to know about so they too can take hope and take heart about what the challenges are and how we are going to solve our problems. We are not alone. So David, bring us back. We're ready to see the video. Can you tell us more about your story before we learn about Bill Tritt?
Yes, a little bit about that. As most of the world knows now, when one contracts HIV, it alone doesn't cause AIDS. It's the destruction of the immune system that does that. And then other opportunistic diseases can enter. And that's what we call AIDS. And so at that time, my immune system got further run down. The T cell count, those helper, protector cells, numbers were going down. The viral load, evidence of the virus, was going up. My energy was dropping. I lost a few pounds. Not that much, though. Not like the stereotypical weight loss that so many of us saw in AIDS patients. Didn't lose much weight, but I lost a lot of energy and got pneumocystis pneumonia, one of those opportunistic illnesses that crops up when the immune system is suffering. And it slowly wore me down to the point where I had to enter the hospital because I could no longer breathe. And as it turns out, did it just in the nick of time. With Bill, he will describe how he got sick, and yet he could somehow see through that to a larger view, a larger vision, and a refusal to give up on his life. Once again, that healing through divine intervention that we referenced, which we will describe in more detail. And Bill and I, another good point to make is that we both realized that we had a choice. We will talk more about this later. We had a choice between life and death. We did not close all our affairs and think, well, that's it. Story's over. I'm going to die. And that made quite a difference. And it probably was the beginning of the beginning, as opposed to the beginning of the end for both of us. And to return to my story, as I said, I had to go to the hospital and I could hardly breathe. Turns out I only had about 24 more hours to live at that rate. And so when I got there, shortly thereafter, I realized in talking to a friend that I had to get serious about fighting this illness. Before, I'd been cracking a lot of jokes about it, which is my nature. And I knew that I had to face it squarely and think seriously about my life and how I was going to get through this. So they had to put me in an induced coma, and I stayed there for 10 days. And during that, I had a lot of strange hallucinations, probably due to the painkillers that they had me on. And at some point, I realized that I had that choice. I became consciously aware of it, thought about it, and asked to come back. And that made all the difference as well. The doctors had been trying to take me out of the coma, but apparently my vitals weren't stable enough. But coincidentally or not, right after I made that decision, asked that question, they were finally successful in being able to safely revive me. And I had a waking dream. I woke up and somebody was getting me ready to take a bath. And the thought I had was, the spirits have done it all in one night. Okay, let's do this. Let's move forward. Let's keep going. We're not done yet. And Bill Tritt, who we'll hear about, did something similar, and he drew upon the power within himself to help heal his body and cleanse himself of the disease. And this is something that we view as thinking outside of the box. Because so many people think, well, this is what science said, this is what the doctor said, this is the state I'm in the hospital, and that's it. But Bill moved beyond that. He thought beyond that. In so doing, I think he went beyond thought. And this is obviously a richly rewarding course to take, as we will find out in the video. And as Kathy mentioned, this is Bill being interviewed in 1989 by Michael Daddio. So let's go ahead and view that video.
The plague of AIDS is consuming tens of thousands of lives. But now there is hope. This hope is not coming from conventional medicine, but instead from within the community of the AIDS victims themselves. Throughout history, whenever mankind has been unable to find solutions in the world outside himself, he has turned inward and inevitably found them. Our purpose with these interviews is to document that there are large numbers of people who have been cured or cured themselves of this disease. There are certain similar patterns running throughout each of their experiences. These experiences are valuable to those people who are now living with AIDS or dying of AIDS. By imparting these processes, techniques, and experiences, the victims can, in their own individual cases, possibly cause a reversal of the disease by employing this information if they care to do so. Bill Tritt is one of approximately 200 to 300 people who have cured themselves or been cured of AIDS, a disease supposedly incurable according to standard medical practices.
When the doctors told me that I was going to die, I did believe that, because everything that we hear every day on the news at that time, and everything that we hear in read in the paper, in magazines, it ultimately leads to death, and the virus is never going to leave your body. And they don't ever come up and tell you that, hey, so-and-so had the AIDS virus and no longer has it, and there's a cure. But we didn't give him the cure. The doctors didn't give him the cure. The cure came from within myself. When conventional medicine tells you that there's nothing that we can do for you, then you have to do it for yourself. You have to say, I'm not going to accept what you tell me that you can't help me. If you can't help me, I'm going to find someone who can, and the only one that could help me was me. So these doctors had programmed me that I was going to die from this disease, and I just told myself, I said, I'm not going to die from this disease, and I don't have to die from the disease. And I started doing relaxation, meditation, and detachment. When you're sick with AIDS, you're so sick and you have nowhere to turn. You have to turn inward and you have to pull down to your soul and you have to find a reason for living and you have to excel with that. And you have to detach yourself from your body. What I mean by detachment is to take your mind and put it in sort of a dream type state where you have control and remove yourself from your physical pain and your physical agony so that you can get your mental status back together again. And I changed my attitude to a positive approach towards healing myself. And lo and behold, in February of 1989, I tested negative for the AIDS virus.
So that's only 5.5 months ago.
Right. And I've had 4 different tests, both blood and spinal fluid tests, sent to several institutions, the Center for Disease Control, the National Institute of Health, the Pasteur Institute, which had diagnosed the disease in the first place. And all 4 since February have come back negative, and the disease is not existing in my body. You have a choice. I had a choice.
And the fighting attitude.
And, definitely, you have to have a fighting attitude and you have to have a positive attitude.
Well, now that we've seen a little bit of Bill Tritt's story, let's talk about some of the similarities between his situation and mine. As I said, we both knew that we had a choice. And a lot of patients in this situation don't know that. They might suspect it, they might believe it, but they don't fully apply their will to the situation. Nothing happens by itself. Man must act and implement his will. That's something that Bill and I both did with full conviction and no doubt in our minds that it would make a difference.
All the major religions expect the return of a master teacher. The Buddhists expect the Maitreya Buddha. The Christians expect the Christ. The Jews expect the Messiah. The Muslims expect the Imam Mahdi. This teacher, whose name is Maitreya, the Buddhists have the name right. Maitreya is known as the world teacher. He has come to fulfill all the expectations of all the religions. And he has come primarily as a teacher for people of all religions or no religion. He comes with a group of advanced human beings. Just like us, Maitreya is considered the eldest brother of humanity. And he comes with a group called the Masters of Wisdom. So you will hear us refer to teachings from the master standing behind humanity, guiding our evolution. The first person was Madame Helena Blavatsky, a Russian woman who was active in the late 1800s. And at the same time, another Russian woman named Helena Rorick, who brought forth what are known as the Agni Yoga teachings. And then another woman in the early 1920s and into the 1940s, a woman named Alice Bailey. These 3 women published books that explained various aspects of the ageless wisdom teachings. Benjamin Creme was a Scottish artist, author, esotericist, and he traveled the world for over 40 years. He died in 2016, sharing this information. So I heard him speak and bought the books because I was very interested and wanted to learn all I could. And at that lecture, I also learned about the organization that had formed to share this information, Share International. So I first heard Benjamin Creme in 1982, and his sense, his understanding was that the soonest Maitreya could come forward was in May of 1982. And that was the time period where Benjamin Krem had been receiving 140 messages from Maitreya. They ended in May of 1982. The media was invited in a packed press conference to follow up on this story, and they didn't. So as Benjamin Krem explained, Maitreya has had to take the long way round to come forward. So little by little, step by step, one thing after another has happened over the 40 years that I have followed this story. And the next major consideration, the major event, was that on June 11th in 1988, before a crowd of 6,000 people gathered in Nairobi, Kenya, Maitreya literally appeared out of the blue, a man, tall man dressed in white. He materialized in front of this crowd, spoke in perfect Swahili for 15 or 20 minutes, and a few photographs were taken of him then, as he appeared then. Healings happened around him. He walked off through the crowd, was taken a little bit distance away, and he literally disappeared. So I always like to explain to people, the masters and Maitreya have abilities that are beyond our comprehension in terms of what they are able to do. They have mastered the physical plane.
It was foretold in 1989 that Maitreya, the world teacher, as one way to gently alert humanity of his presence, would be healing hundreds of people with AIDS. Bill Tritt was one of them. There's a great spiritual law that divine assistance and healing can happen when you see that you have a choice and you use your will to do whatever you can. Right now, at the 11th hour, humanity is awakening to seeing that we all have a choice in all of our current planetary challenges. We as humanity can do exactly what Bill Tritt did: invoke divine help. Energy follows thought. And this I discovered after my brush with death. And also we think about a quote which is attributed to Buddha, where he said, and I paraphrase, "We create our reality with our thoughts." And I've come to understand that my thoughts had created my own disorder in my world, and that it's mankind's disordered thoughts that causes the global imbalances in our world, and they contribute to our vulnerability to AIDS and COVID today. So I think these teachings that Kathy has talked about in regards to this are central to solving the world's problems.
We are going to see a second part of Bill Tritt's video that has to do with the visions that he had while he was in a coma. Speaking of long-term perspectives, the wisdom that's available to us now through the ageless wisdom teachings have been around for before history. So these are ancient teachings that back up the religions of the world and bring with them such extraordinary wisdom. And the whole point here is that that wisdom is re-emerging now to help us now with the myriad problems which we must work together to solve. So can you say a little more about this next part of the second half of the Bill Tritt video, David? Are you ready for that?
I am. And to continue on that theme, yes, these philosophies, these beliefs, this knowledge, this wisdom goes back 100,000 years. So what occurred to Bill and to me was, I think as Shakespeare put it, there's nothing new under the sun. And our thoughts reshaped our reality. We believed that, we knew that, and we did it. And as you heard, Bill was able to detach from the thought of succumbing to the illness. And he instead focused on living from the soul, which left him open to divine intervention. The world teacher, who Kathy informed us about, gave him a vision that did heal him suddenly and completely. So we've been taught here to be open to the soul, which means being open to divine help, and that we can create a future using these wisdom teachings and, in this case, survive illnesses using that wisdom as well. And so now let me talk about Bill's sense while he was in that coma. I already told you about mine. It's time to hear more about his. And we have a little bit of it here in a issue from Share International magazine going back to 1989. And this is Bill describing his vision, what he saw in that coma that Kathy mentioned. A figure appeared in white light. He was talking to me, guiding me. The cosmos, our connection with God, or whatever you believe, is open to everyone, but you have to be receptive to it. I was in this medieval type setting, and these knights with red crosses came along and rescued me. There was an order of beneficent knights during the last big plague, considered the worst since the Black Plague. They were called the Knights of St. John Hospitalier. And there was an order of knights in service to humanity, and at that time helping victims of the plague. Over the front and back of their armor, they wore white square material with big red crosses on them. Later called St. John of the Cross, patron saint of mystics and contemplatives and of the ill and sick. So with that, let's view the second half of the video.
Cannot listen to people tell you, oh, poor you, you're going to die in a couple of years, or you're going to die in a couple of weeks, or you're going to die in a couple of months. You can't take all that negativeness and expect to get better.
Did you have a climactic moment in this?
No, there was one point where I was destined, I guess, or everyone thought that it was the end. I was in St. John's Hospital, in a hospital bed. I had lost the sight in my right eye. I'd lost about 30 pounds in a week. Could not eat anything, could not keep anything down, not even fluids. And I had a detachment experience because I was suffering so much that I purposely detached.
Oh, yeah, that's when you had the visionary experience that caused the disease's reversal.
Right, and I had a tremendous experience where I was sort of very close to nature and very in a lot of trees, a lot of bushes, and I mean, I could practically smell the aromas of the plants and things next to me. I felt totally energized, and I felt like 10, 15 years younger, and I knew at that particular moment that I was free of the AIDS virus.
When Bill got AIDS, he was a nurse at St. John of the Cross Hospital near where he lived in Santa Monica. There, in that hospital bed, with the doctor saying he had 3 days to live and blind from AIDS, Maitreya gave Bill a vision. First, he heard galloping. Then he saw several knights of St. John the Hospitaller on horseback. When he saw them, with the red cross over their armor, he felt a sense of comfort and knew they were going to help him. This is when he knew they were going to take him to an AIDS cleansing machine. Bill said it was like an electrical machine. It was big, about 6 feet by 6 feet. He experienced himself, his energy, only in one side, which was small and narrow.
And I awoke in the hospital bed the next morning, and I could see again out of my eye, and I called to the nurse, and I told her to call the doctor that I was able to see, and I knew that then and there that the virus was gone, and I told my doctor that I demanded that he do more blood tests and another spinal tap and test it for the AIDS virus, and to their astonishment, the blood and the spinal fluid came back negative.
Other people who have been cured of AIDS, I've heard them speak about getting back to nature and visualizing themselves in a healthy and supportive environment.
Because when you're stricken with AIDS and you're so down and out, you don't have any route of escape. So you have to do visualization in order to satisfy the need for physical escape from the body. I mean, being confined to a bed all the time, or even to a particular room in the house, or even your house or apartment alone, it would make you crazy.
So in your visualization, you feel that transporting yourself in imagination to a beautiful, healthy, supportive, natural setting is part of what the healing process is, that your mind will follow that direction, and that your body will then take its commands or cues from the mind if the mind puts it into the right environment, a healthy environment.
This is important. And you're right, a lot of people that I've talked to that have AIDS have a burning desire to get back to nature. It seems to be one of the top priorities. And I think that that's a way that nature is calling to them, to saying, hey, I can help you and I can help heal you. So come to me and I'm available to you. You don't have to die from the disease. And that's one thing that I'd like to stress, is to get death out of your mind. I am living proof that you don't have to die from the disease. I almost died from the disease. I had a choice.
What an amazing story. What an image to consider with Bill Tritt's experience. And I gather that it took him a while. I read the whole article in Share International magazine. And even though he knew he'd been healed, the doctors needed to confirm that and measure him more, and he had to get his body back. You know, his body needed time to recover. But can you sort of compare that, David, with your own experience, and also how this is beginning to touch on your worldview?
Yes. I'll talk a little bit more about the coincidences and parallels between me and Bill. There was the near-death experience and recovery, sort of a undefinable spiritual aspects of his story and mine. In other words, we didn't know how that happened. We didn't know what just happened there, except that we made a choice and the choice was honored and we recovered. As is often the case in humanity, when they cannot find the answers without, they turn within. And when they do, they almost always find the answers. And the light triumphs over the darkness every single time, which makes you wonder why we worry so much. So both AIDS and COVID gave not only Bill and me, but the world an opportunity to evolve into more productive activism. And this brings to mind another quote from the world teacher, Maitreya, who Kathy has informed us about, when he said, "Why sit still while the world groans?" In other words, get involved, get active, stop being complacent. And he had said another time, "Take your brother's need as the measure for your actions and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course." A quote that's attributed to Confucius, which, to paraphrase, is basically, crisis creates opportunity. And Bill's health crisis and mine offered us the opportunity to shift our focus and to look at the illness, ourselves, and our place in the world differently, to heal from the soul, to invoke soul healing.
How are you doing now, David?
My health is stabilized. T-cell count is at a good height, and I'm undetectable, as they say, with HIV, meaning that when they test me for it, it's difficult to find it, and it's at so low rate in the body that it's not possible for me to infect another person.
That is wonderful news, and I'm so glad. We need to share. We need to spread love. We need to work for peace. We need to heal the environment. We can do it. We have help. I'm so glad to share this with you today, David. It's been wonderful to be here with you. And I'm so grateful for all the people that have listened to what we have to talk about. Take it as food for thought. It's an idea. See what you think.
This experience taught me, and perhaps taught Bill too, that we have a choice. And that the world also has a choice to create a new golden age. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us here on Planetary Makeover. You really made this episode.
David, thank you so much for having me. It's been a great joy to share this wonderful, hopeful information. Here's to our future, positive future.
My name is Tony Townsend. The program is Stranger at the Gate. The Stranger at the Gate refers to Maitreya, the world teacher. On the 19th day in the month of July in 1977, the Son of Man walked among us again to help us change our earth into heaven. I look for the signs and I listen in the wind for the simple man who cares for us all. I look to myself for I know he is within, and I listen for the sound of his call. He came in the clouds in a big jet plane to a well-known country of the earth. As a man among men, his life will emerge, sharing love and justice come to birth. I look for the signs and I listen in the wind for the simple man who cares for us all. I look to myself for I know he is within, and I listen for the sound of his call.
The whole world, humanity,
is in need of healing. And this is a healing mantra, which dedicate to the human family everywhere. May the power of the one life force, may the power of the one life force, may the power of the one life force, to the whole being, enabling us to live the life of God, making our bodies sound and whole. May the power of the one life pour through our whole being. May the love that animates the entire universe radiate through our whole being, enabling us to spread the love of God, enabling us to spread the love of God. May the knowledge that is our divine heritage illumine our whole being, enabling us to lead others along, along the lighter way. May the power of the one life force, power of the one life force, may the power of the one life force to our whole being. The return of the Masters and of Maitreya have to do with the fact that humanity seems on a course of self-destruction always. And we got through World War II and we survived the confrontation between the two great three or whatever superpowers. But now we're facing another problem. In the movement of the despotic aspect in our own country, the main reason for the return, however, is to allow people to live normal, healthy, active lives so that they can discover and develop the godlike nature which lies within. And the very first thing we must do is learn to share the resources of the world so the G7 countries don't hoard them all, so people who starve and die in their millions can have a decent life. And this is a song with words by Maitreya, Learn to Share. How can you be content with the molds within which you now live, when millions starve and die in squalor, when the rich parade their wealth before the poor, when each man is his neighbor's enemy, when no man trusts his brother, for how long must you live thus, my friends? For how long can you support this degradation? Learn to share, to Grasp your brother's hand and know him as yourself. Take your brother's need as the measure for your action and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course than to share. Throughout the world, there are men, women, and little children who have not even the essentials to stay alive. They crowd the cities of many of the poorest countries in the This crime fills me with shame. My brothers, how can you watch these people die before your eyes and call yourselves men? Learn to share, to grasp your brother's hand and know him as yourself. Take your brother's need as the measure for your action and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course. Learn to share. Why sit still when the world groans, when men, women, and children die in misery, cast off by their brothers, are hungry and perish needlessly for want of the food which lies rotting in the storehouses of the world. Learn to share. Grasp your brother's hand and know him as yourself. Take your brother's need as the measure for your action and solve the problems of the world. There is no other course. Learn to share. Learn to share.
Visit us on Facebook at hashtag Planetary Makeover. This show has been a production of planetarymakeover.org. At our website, we have a link to our bi-weekly live show at 5 p.m. Mondays Pacific Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At our website, we also have a link to our archives and a selection of our shows. For more background info, visit www.shareinternationalwest.org. That's shareinternational-west.org. For related books and DVDs and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of Maitreya the World Teacher, please go to share-ecart.com. That's share-ecart.com. We also invite you to watch another show that we really love entitled What in the World is Happening? And that show, which you don't want to miss, is produced by Share International Canada. Please view episodes of What in the World is Happening on demand at youtube.com/@messageofhopeweekly. It will be live streaming mostly on the second Saturday of every month at the Share International Canada Facebook page.